in the studio here today with Brother David Ferris, who is going to tell us about some very exciting concerts coming up this week.
Yeah, we're excited. We're wrapping up the semester in the music department. Lots of concerts going on. And this week in particular, we have two of our top two concert bands. And so tomorrow night on Tuesday, April, is it the 2nd already? Yeah, April 2nd tomorrow. It'll be our university band. Dr. Adam Baliff directs the university band. And we have several students that also co-direct at. So they're going to have a concert tomorrow night, April 2nd. Lots of fantastic band music. It'll be in the Barris Concert Hall at 7:30. A lot of our students in that group are not music majors, and so it's a really excited group of like students that are continuing their musical talents and developing their talents and pursuits in the band area, but like as a hobby almost, right? It's something that they'll do the rest of their lives, but maybe not for their career. So that'll be a great concert. That's a really large band. And then following that on April 3rd is our top group, the Symphony Band. We're very excited about the Symphony Band concert. We want to make sure everyone's aware of it, especially if you are someone who might speak French or listens to French music. The theme is very clear for this concert, this April 3rd one. We're calling it An American in Paris, and it has a couple connections to France and Paris and Americans and things like that, but we're really excited. I think the first thing to mention is that we're going to be featuring our just fantastic trombone professor, Dr. Bryce Meekham. He is an incredible performer, educator. He's going to be playing several trombone solos with the symphony band as a guest. And it's interesting because Dr. Meekham is very enthusiastic about French or France, and he has done some sabbaticals in France recently. He's gone and studied at the Paris Conservatory, and next year he's likely going to bring some friends to our campus even to present on music and some of the ways that music is studied in France. Paris Conservatory is very famous for producing incredible musicians and compositions, and we're very fortunate to learn about some of this through Dr. Meekham. He's going to perform several pieces tomorrow night, a big trombone solo by Eugene Boltsa, who's a French composer. He's also going to perform Clair de Lune, which lots of people will recognize as a very beautiful kind of folk melody from France as well. But throughout the concert, the symphony band is going to present music by a number of French composers. I'm not the greatest at speaking French. I speak a little bit Spanish, but Sanson, I think, is the name. We have a couple pieces by Camille Saint-Saëns, and we have music by Offenbach and Chabrier. These are composers that have written for different types of settings and events. One of our pieces is called March Militaire Française, and so it's like a very regal march, you know, from France. And then some of our other pieces are from operas, some which are less known, but very kind of interesting and exciting and picturesque and programmatic. And so we have some great works. There's one in particular that I'm very excited about, which will actually start the whole concert off, and it's called Fête Polonaise, which I believe is like Polish dance or Polish festival. And it comes from a big opera that I didn't know anything about. I discovered this on an album. The United States Marine Band had an album of festival-type pieces that I was considering for this concert before I knew the theme and discovered this piece, and it kind of led to these choices. But that's a really fun French overture that we're going to start the night off with. And then from there, you'll hear a variety of pieces that it's just – we really are excited about this. We want to say every concert's going to be great. This is going to be really exciting, especially, like I said, if you speak French – you might just hear some French being spoken during this concert. We're hoping Dr. Meekham says a few things. He's gone and learned he's learned French quite well, actually, for his studies. And, you know, there might be a pre-show announcement or two that it might sound like you're at the Olympics where it's French and then English. So all of those French enthusiasts and speakers and, you know, on campus should come. Anyone hears Absolutely. About it. But the music will be great for everyone.
So is it clear or, you know, confirmed to say that Dr. Meekham kind of inspired the theme that you guys have coming
question.
Up, or like who came up with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I would say no in a way, but I've known for a long time that we invited him long before we knew the theme to perform. And so with any of the guest artists, we'll sit and lay out the music or different options. Like, what are some of your favorite solos? So he started that process of like laying out some of his solos. And at the same time, I was going through lots of different music, just trying to decide what we might want to play. And I mentioned that piece that I found in the Marine Band album, the Fête Polonaise. And I started realizing, well, there's some great French music. And then I thought, oh, Dr. Meekham speaks French. And then I thought, he's been to France. And And then I mentioned that the title of this concert, An American in Paris, this is a famous work by George Gershwin. Lots of you are familiar with Rhapsody in Blue. Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin and also An American in Paris, which we hear performed today a lot by symphonies. We also hear it on like commercials and things like that. I think it's like United Airlines or one of those uses the music from American in Paris as part of their theme. But as I realized, this would be a wonderful work to do. It's about 20 minutes long. It's a big work for band. And we're doing a transcription of what an orchestra might normally play. The connections all kind of, it was like it was meant to be. I was like, wait a minute. We have Dr. Meekum, who was an American in Paris, and we've got this music, and we've got French music, and it came together pretty quickly once I kind of established some of those themes. And so, I don't know. It's a process. It's hard to, we don't want to necessarily give credit or take credit. We all collaborate and stuff like that. But Dr. Meekum, we definitely have collaborated together, Bryce and I, talked about a lot of these options and ideas. And it's been a really fun experience putting this together. And the students, they've shared great ideas and feedback throughout. One thing I want to throw out is, if you go to a concert in France, which, Dr. Meekum mentioned that there oftentimes are multiple encores. Like, it's a very exciting and festive thing. And we have a couple pieces in our program that could be used as encores. This Claire de Lune I mentioned, we're going to play that right after this American in Paris. American in Paris would oftentimes feel like the last big piece. It's our main piece on the concert. But we'll play Claire de Lune as like a nice little dessert almost, right after. And then we'll have one more. And so there's going to be two or three encore type things. We might joke about that a little bit as far as here's another encore. Here's another, we're not going to hold the audience hostage or anything like that. But every note will be worth it. In fact, one of our encore pieces, Padre Doble is what it's called by Saint-Saëns. We're playing that earlier in the concert. So I guess it's not an encore, but there will be some fun. Oftentimes an encore is fast and exciting. I've heard some conductors sometimes say, we're not sure if you're going to want to stay around to the end, so we're going to play our encores first tonight. But it's not quite that. But it's going to be a full night of just wonderful music with French themes and just very colorful, beautiful music, exciting music. There won't be a dull moment, that's for sure.
So I pulled up this dinner piece you're talking about, the American in Paris. This is done by the Navy Band, but can you just explain what's going on as I play this and then maybe give me some vision of what your arrangement will be
it? Yeah. Again, these are transcriptions of what it was originally written for orchestra. Yeah, so, throughout this piece, there's a lot of little ideas and themes, and it's almost like you're watching a movie, and I think there are some films that are relating to American in Paris, but you hear certain melodies that remind you different things. A lot of times I think about the city, like a busy city. If you imagine somebody traveling through traffic, like right here, you can hear horns. That's a common little motif that appears a lot throughout this. You'll actually hear some car horns and things like that, but here we are towards the very end of the piece, and all of these different ideas and busy environments are coming together and kind of building it. We're recapping all the different melodies and such. This is one of the most famous melodies.
Yeah.
And as it approaches towards the end, there's kind of a big grand finale, and you hear the final melody that you might hear like on a United Airlines commercial or something.
Those cymbals are an important part there.
Oh, yeah, and the big timpani roll right here. It's a long piece. It takes a lot of endurance for our brass players. You can hear, there's the famous little line right there. Come fly with us or whatever, But there's these melodies go throughout. It's very enjoyable. If you don't have a long attention span, this is a perfect piece, because every like four measures, 10 seconds or so, it's going to change to a different kind of scene. And I think a lot about Fantasia that Disney did. They had two different movies where they animated, they created animations that matched music, and one of the pieces by Gershwin, The Rhapsody in Blue, is on there. I think of that a lot. They could do this very easily for this piece as well. And there have been, like I mentioned, some motion pictures. I believe there is an American in Paris movie even. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's hard to say exactly, but there's lots of room for imagination as you listen to this.
Yeah, so how important, even in a piece like this, just recreating it, you're talking about how the horns sound like, car horns and everything like that. How important is it to immerse your audience into that imagination, that scene?
There's different, obviously it's great when they can imagine things without describing it. That it's really exhilarating when the audience knows what you're playing in your music without even having to depict it or say, hey, here comes a car horn. You know, so that's an exciting thing. I mean, and I think in this case, it's pretty obvious. You know, you have to have a little bit of historic or reference to what a car horn used to sound like, you know. But that is an exciting thing. I mean, one of the challenges for this piece especially is there's so many styles, you know, and so it's very easy to just play the notes and rhythms and sound okay. Like for our students, a big part of the process is not just playing, I mean, getting far beyond notes and rhythms and like sounding for a moment like a busy city scene or traffic or a dance scene. There's some beautiful slower melodies in here where it just sounds like almost like a tango or a waltz or some kind of sweeping dance is taking place. And it's very easy to miss some of the musical necessities that make it feel that way. And so like we're trying to educate ourselves as an ensemble on how to make this feel authentic so that a listener, it's as if they can see it right away. And so we don't have a problem describing some things. You know, here we are talking about it. But I think that's been a theme, coincidentally, throughout our semester. We realize that sometimes we do describe music with words rather than just listening. And so our goal has always been in our band's area and music department, you know, to help, our goal is to have the audience hear what we hear, to feel what we feel. And so this is a great opportunity here is we not only have to play the right notes and rhythms, but we have to have an opinion. We have to, like, be intentional here. And so there's a lot of great concepts and themes that relate to all aspects of life. And we have young musicians that are developing their talents. A lot of our students here are far better musicians than they were a few months ago. And so there's just different challenges. It's a very exhilarating. So it's an exhilarating experience, like I was saying there. And I'd say that this is because it's so picturesque and easy. I mean, the sounds are pretty obvious, like the car horns, like we mentioned, just, you know, generally there. It'll be easy for the audience to grab onto something and kind of hear and imagine. And that's what we hope they're doing, imagining. So,
yeah. Can you talk a little more into your preparation and getting this group ready for this concert? What are some of those challenges that you did see that are seeming to be easier for them right now?
Yeah, it's always at the end. It's like we have a book finally of instructions of how to prepare for this concert, which we did not have at the beginning of the semester. But, you know, there's a lot of different factors, not beyond musical abilities too. It's been a very busy semester on campus in our music area and department. And this is not our first concert, and so this is probably the one that I handed out the music the earliest for ever in my career. Where we had two small concerts for local school students, and then we had a main concert with the university band. But we gave them those were different programs. We gave them this music before that point, and so we asked them to be finding and identifying challenging things that they may not have encountered before. You know, about half our students are music majors. They have private lessons during the week. They have opportunities to prepare before we sit in a room together and work on the project also. And so we really have tried to focus in, at least encourage that students are more prepared than normal. We really had to hit the ground running. You know, when it came to, I don't know, late February when we started this program, we really needed to have some experience with the music already. A big part of that is listening. And so here we're hearing recordings. You know, there's a lot of recordings available for the pieces that we're preparing for or that we've been preparing. And so listening is a big part of it. But then time management is huge. We rehearse 3 hours a week pretty much as a symphony band in the same room all at the same time. There's a couple other things that happen in sectionals and private lessons and things. But we're together 3 hours a week. That goes by pretty fast, you know, throughout the semester. And with a piece of music that's 20 minutes long from beginning to end or a concert that's about an hour long, you know, it's very easy. It's difficult to zoom in a lot unless you're very strategic. And so our students are very good at being willing to break things down. Like I say, it's like having surgery on certain parts. I mean, there are parts of this music that are over in a few seconds, but we spent an hour or two on it different or cumulatively. Right. And so time management and balancing and preparation, there's just a lot of aspects that are at play. A few of the pieces intentionally are not as hard. And so there's some balance there. And it's really fun for me to say, okay, you need to have a professional experience on this. We've rehearsed this once or twice, and we probably aren't going to rehearse it again for another few weeks. So you need to keep it fresh. It's your responsibility. And our students respond incredibly well to having that responsibility acknowledged and passed over. And I love those moments. They play the most musically, the more that we get out of the way as conductors, you know. But there is kind of there is an initiation process to that where we have to talk about a little bit, and then they'll embrace it. Sometimes they'll flounder just a little bit. I'll stop conducting, and they'll say, "Oh, are we supposed to stop?" I say, "No. You know what to do." And then all of a sudden, everybody takes ownership. And this is a good theme in life. I think we're very complacent a lot of times when we feel like, you know, it's not really up to us to lead or to participate. And so anyways, there's a lot of great themes. It's a very enjoyable process.
Absolutely. Can you give the public some knowledge into the difference between the symphony band and maybe more of a classical ensemble of a symphony?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that can be a little confusing, just the title of it here. We have all kinds of titles for bands, none of which necessarily describe the band exactly. Like in the concert band, well, generically we have band and orchestra. And I think most will recognize it has to do with the instruments, right? Some of the band instruments are in the orchestra. There are trumpeters and trombones in the orchestra. But an orchestra is going to have string instruments, right? The band typically has all wind or percussion instruments only. You might occasionally see a string bass, but its band is going to be wind and percussion. And so now that you're on our end, we're called a symphony band. Some artistic conductor somewhere decided that it needed to be symphonic, and I don't mean on our campus, but there are a number of groups around the country. I know University of Michigan, they also have a symphony band, you know. But sometimes they'll call it symphonic band or symphony band or wind ensemble, wind symphony, concert band, all of which are pretty much the same. Somebody probably would argue that that's, you know. But on our campus, the branding, the name of our top concert band is the symphony band. And I think it's because it's symphonic. But the word band, don't be surprised when there's no violins on this concert, right? And we do have a symphony orchestra, so I think, you know, it's a very common question. I appreciate you asking that.
Indeed. So, this one, just give me the details of the shows one more time.
The Symphony Band concert is Wednesday evening this week. It's 7:30 in the Barris Concert Hall in the Snow Building. That's 7:30, April 3rd. And there are tickets available online through BYU Idaho, through tickets and such, like normal. And then the University Band, our other band, will be performing on April 2nd. And both will be very enjoyable. And if you really can't attend it live, and I know like my mom, well, she's actually traveling. That's not a good example. But others that can't attend live, if you're listening to this somewhere else, you can watch it online as well. And I always just type in BYUI music stream, and it always finds the website. But all of our concerts and recitals, 99.9% of them show up online as well at the same time. So if you can't watch in person, you can watch at that moment online as well. So we're really excited. We've had great, you know, since COVID, we've had fantastic audiences. We've had a few concerts that it's uncommon, but have been completely full in our bands. So we're hopeful that at this busy time that students will be aware, that community will be aware and can come check it out. And it will really be an enjoyable thing to, you know, participate in this week. So
well, I appreciate your time, Brother Ferris, and giving us some insights on the symphony band concert and what it takes to arrange such a concert. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we sure appreciate your support as well.